Hi, all of you wonderful scuba divers out there. Welcome to the Scuba Diver Magazine podcast, where I break down the latest scuba diving news and other things that have piqued my interest over the previous week. This week, we saw a new freediving world record, a rather chilly one, because it's still wintertime in the Northern Hemisphere, and a new perfectly preserved shipwreck has been discovered. It's kind of deep down, so it's more for the technical divers, but the images that are coming out of it are just stunning. So the first news story is, yes, that new freediving world record. So this is nuts. Wearing only a pair of swimming trunks, some freediving fins, a swim cap, and a mask, David Vankel, who's been dubbed the Czech Iceman, has claimed a new world freediving record after diving down 52.1 meters straight down through a iced hole in Switzerland's Lake Sils. And the water temperature was measured between 1 and 4 degrees Celsius. So chilly, bracing, some might say. It's claiming the new world record for deepest under ice dive in a swimsuit on one breath. This took place on the 14th of March, although it will have to be officially verified by Guinness World Records. Sometimes they take a little bit of time. The entire dive took 1 minute and 54 seconds to retrieve a little tag from a descent line and then resurface, which was a little bit slower than he had originally planned, but of course he made it. And when he got back up to the surface, it makes for some rather unfortunate like celebration photos. He seems to have burst a blood vessel somewhere, and he's just like spitting out blood. Unfortunately, it looks like he's an MMA fighter. He's just won. But he quickly cracked open a bottle of champagne, which was on ice, I imagine, to celebrate. And of course had a medical check just to make sure there was no physical damage. I mean, just incredible. This isn't his first like ice diving attempt. Obviously, you wouldn't do this as like a one-off. He has done a separate world record. 2 years ago, he did a breath hold dive swimming horizontally. Instead of straight down into the water, he swam under the ice between two ice holes, and he swam 81 meters wearing nothing but a swimsuit again. Well done. It's not something that I'll be doing. I'm in dry suit and undersuit as soon as it gets below 18 degrees, maybe. As soon as the water temperature gets quite cold, I'm just like, nah, screw it, I'm going in my dry suit. It's so much more civilized. Vankel described his training regime for the dive attempt as long, hard, and painful. Yeah, that's exactly what you want. He said that two of his main concerns had been whether or not it would be possible to balance the pressure to a depth of 50 meters in the cold conditions, and whether there would be a threat of barotrauma to any part of his respiratory system. He and his teams had concluded that while there was a risk, the dive would be unlikely to cause serious or permanent damage, quoted saying, "I walk the edge, but always stay safe and in control. I don't want to do it again. I tried it and we move on." So congratulations. And there's videos, there's photos that you can check out. Incredible world record attempt. Not something that I'll be doing anytime soon. The next one is, incredible images coming out of NOAA about this shipwreck in one of the Great Lakes. So this is solving the mystery of the Ironton, which was a cargo sailing ship that sank in Lake Huron 128 years ago. And now that they've discovered it and they've kind of like looked at it, made sure it's still intact, there are hopefully plans for scuba divers to be able to visit the deep-lying intact shipwreck. So it's a 58-meter-long, three-masted schooner barge, and it sank whilst it was under tow, and it collided with a separate steamer ship. From what I can tell by the story, this ship, the Ironton, was basically being towed with another ship. So two ships are being towed at the same time with this barge at the front, and the motor of the towing barge gave out, and this was at like midnight, and it was at an area that they call like Shipwreck Alley. So just awful turn of events. And whilst they were like free drifting, now this southerly wind like comes in and really pushes it. So it's going to collide with the other ship. So they cut it free and it drifts off, and it manages to slam into an actual powered ship. And that one went down like a rock, but all of the crew managed to make it off safely. Whereas the Ironton that continued to drift, the crew were trying to like turn the engines back on whilst they were trying to get the sails up. But unfortunately they didn't manage to. And because the life raft was still attached to the Ironton, that went down. I think only two of the crew survived. So awful story. But when you look at where it was found and how they found it, it's basically bolt upright. And because it's in a lake, which is cold, fresh water with relatively little water movement, it's basically perfectly preserved. I mean, you look at the radar scans of it underwater, and yeah, it's a shipwreck. It's got the three masts sticking up. It's even got all the rigging connected to the masts and everything. And then they sent down ROVs to check it out, and yeah, pristine, beautiful shipwreck. But yeah, it's quite cold waters, and it's about 90 meters down. So yeah, it's a challenging dive, but it'll be a very rewarding dive to go on it. And yeah, very. Lovely looking shipwreck. This is the wreck diver's dream. So yeah, new shipwreck on the wreck diver's map. Moving on to the southern hemisphere, a boat that hit a diver after ignoring a warning flag has received a rather hefty fine. So the driver of a leisure boat in New Zealand has been ordered to pay 16,000 New Zealand dollars, which is about 8,300 British pounds, after ignoring a diver down flag and inflicting head injuries on a surfacing scuba diver. So this is a diver's one of a diver's worst nightmares. And the incident occurred in January 2022, last year, near Little Barrier Island, which is a wildlife sanctuary off North Island's northeastern coast. And Shane Hollinger was said by Maritime New Zealand, who brought the prosecution, to have been driving a 5-meter boat called Rain or Shine at well over twice the permitted speed. So Hollinger's victim had been in the water. The diver was in the water with other divers from a 7-meter long Auckland-based diving rib called AWOL. And the skipper had put up the diver down flag to warn other boats that there were divers in the water, and a speed limit of 5 knots should have applied within 200 meters of this flag. But although Rain or Shine had initially slowed from its initial 18 knots, which kind of goes to show that they did see the flag, or they did see that there was an issue. If they just hadn't noticed and the speed hadn't changed, then there's kind of that argument. But because they did slow, shows they kind of saw something, but they only slowed down to about 10 to 13 knots. So still far too fast. According to witnesses, AWOL skipper and other divers aboard had tried to make Hollinger aware of the danger, but he failed to comply and just kept going. They then heard a bang and saw a diver surface and call for help. The diver was concussed and sustained cuts to their head. Hollinger has now been sentenced in Auckland District Court under the Maritime Transport Act for operating a vessel in a manner likely to endanger life. The penalty consisted of a $3,600 fine, with $10,000 in compensation to the diver for emotional harm and $2,429 for consequential losses. DSMBs, everyone, really nice, bright. Make sure that you'll be seen on the surface because, yeah, even diver down flags on a nearby boat. I mean, I was watching a there was a great TV series here in the UK called Coastal Defenders for the past 2 weeks at about 6:30 in the afternoon in BBC Two. You can watch it on BBC iPlayer, I imagine. Coastal Defenders, and it was basically covered a commercial diving team just doing different types of jobs, and there was one section where a vessel had been practicing its like emergency procedures, and part of the lifeboat shell, because these ones, the like big inflatable ones, they come in like a two-part shell. One part of it had fallen off into the water and it had sunk. It's just like a fiberglass shell. And of course, yeah, you need commercial divers to go in and find it. But it was in a part of kind of a shipping lane. So I don't really know why they were doing their security, no, safety procedures there, but whatever. It was around there. And of course, commercial divers, they've got this like alpha diver down flag, really obvious. And this yacht just kind of like moseys straight in and it's going over this diver. They're waving and trying to like get their attention, pointing to the diver down flag, and they just kind of keep going. So they basically had to drag the diver by his tether to make sure that that he or his umbilical didn't get snagged. So just boat drivers, man, just be careful. And yeah, if you are in the water anywhere near the surface, then yeah, keep it, try to be as conspicuous and obvious as possible. And remember, as you are ascending in those last like few meters, stop, look and listen, kind of turn around. You'll be able to hear it coming, but you won't be able to see, or you won't be able to hear exactly which direction it's coming from. So it's important to like rotate and look around to see if you can see it coming. But just dangerous, man. Boats, you need to make sure that you're as obvious as possible in the water. And the final news story comes from Deep Dive Dubai, the world's deepest swimming pool. They uploaded a video a couple of days ago now for you, which is they've put a new installation in, which, because it's Deep Dive Dubai, it's a bright red convertible Mercedes. And I just watch this and I just think, what a cool place to work, basically, because they got these, the divers just like moving it around. They got the crane that lowers it down. They got lift bags as well to kind of control it, and then they like the divers shimmy it into a, like, not a final resting place, because I don't know if it's going to be there forever. They do this from time to time. They change the exhibitions. They had I think it was a Formula One car the other month. I mean, I've been at Nemo 33, and they had a car in there when they when I visited last. And it's just something cool and fun to kind of check out. It did change the color of the water quite noticeably, because I've been there or I've been to Nemo 33 a few times, and I remember it being like nice crystal clear kind of blue water colors. And then the next time I visited, they had the a smart car in there, and it was noticeably more green. So that's so the rust starting to form, I presume, in the water. But there's a whole video of it. It's over on their Instagram, probably their other social media platforms. But yeah, it's just cool to see them control maneuver this Mercedes in like mid water, and then just settle it down somewhere in the swimming pool. And yeah, if you are thinking of going, then yeah, that's a new attraction. Looking at new diving gear that I've kind of seen around this week, the only thing that really caught my eye was this new Kirby Morgan watch. Most of the new like dive equipment has kind of been announced. I think there are a few other bits that are yet to be announced. So there's still going to be some exciting things over the next coming weeks and months. But yeah, the one that, that caught my eye that was actually announced was the, Kirby Morgan watch. Scuba Pro is really leaning into their 60th anniversary. So I think I saw an anniversary beanie hat, which, yeah, if you need a new beanie hat, otherwise, yeah, you'll probably start to see some like heritage type stuff. They started this a few years back where they got more retro styling with some of their things. But we'll probably see a bit more in like the coming weeks, them celebrating their 60th anniversary. And of course, Aqualung are celebrating their 80th anniversary, because they were, 43 when Aqualung was like founded. So yeah, they're leaning into their 80th anniversary. I don't think I've seen any like new bits of gear that like lean into it, but I think they're just like celebrating nevertheless. What have I been working on this week? This week my main like focus was writing up a liverboard guide, so that'll be coming probably April now by the time that I get to edit it and put it all together. I've also been working on a few interviews that I did at the Go Diving show. So the first one went live on, was that Wednesday, with Liz Parkinson. She worked on Avatar, The Way of Water, but she's also done all sorts of other things. She worked on the Thai cave rescue, or one of the cave dive rescue movies. But she's like stunt woman, and she's like been teaching. I think she taught like Hugh Jackman how to dive or free dive for an upcoming film. She knows what she's doing when it comes to like underwater like stunts and training. So it's quite interesting to catch up with her. Andy Torbett as well. Most of you will probably recognize Andy Torbett, again, stuntman, but he does a lot of cave diving and all that kind of stuff. Ross Kemp, he's got a new TV series, a new deep shipwreck treasure hunter, I think it's called, this year. That's due to be released at some point this year. They haven't actually given a definite date, but it should be 2023, so that should be quite interesting. The first one was good. It was all about a lot of British shipwrecks. So yeah, if you enjoy your shipwrecks, that's quite an interesting one. That's on Sky History. And Alex Mustard, who's a big time underwater photographer, he's got an MBE from the Queen, and he's been in like BBC Wildlife Photographer awards, all sorts of stuff. I managed to sit down with him and ask him about some underwater photography questions, so they will be up and coming. I was doing Ask Mark, someone asked a question about dry gloves, whether they have to be like scuba specific, or whether you can use like running gloves, because if you already have like running gloves or similar, then can you just wear them under dry gloves, or does it have to be like a scuba specific dry glove? And not really. As long as it's relatively compression resistant and it keeps your hands warm whilst wet, just in case you do get a leak, then yeah, it should be perfectly fine. And it's whether it has like long cuffs or short cuffs, because some divers, they like to, because you have to break the cuff seal of your dry suit when you're using dry gloves, so that your hand doesn't get like vacuum sealed in its own little airspace. You have to either pop, I tend to use either a bit of silicone tubing, that usually comes with a lot of dry glove systems, or if I lose them, because they're quite small and they don't make any noise when you drop them on the floor, I use just a small section of like 5 mil paracord, because all you have to do is just make sure that that cuff seal isn't airtight, basically. So you tuck that underneath, but some divers, they just use the actual cuff of the under glove and then put their silicone or latex or neoprene cuff seal over the top of that so that you can equalize the glove from the air inside of your dry suit. So whereas some other divers just put it over the top, and it's just two different thoughts on that. So that was quite interesting. And also heated undersuits and how that can affect your decompression. And this is a fascinating topic. And I'm not really the person to be asking about that. And there are some amazing lectures by people who know far more about it than I do, such as Neil Pollock is a great one. He's got a few lectures online. And yeah, it's kind of a dry subject when it starts. But once you get into it, then it is really fascinating, really interesting. They did a series of experiments by changing the test subjects' like temperature. I think they changed the water temperature around them, and they changed how warm or cold they were at different sections of the dive. And what they found was, if you had it where the diver was cold at the start of the dive and at like the maximum depth, but then warmed up towards the end of the dive, then the reported decompression sickness, rates of decompression sickness, were like 0.1%. It was fractional, even when they extended the bottom time. However, if you flip that over and the diver starts warm but then ends the dive cold, because they're warm when they're absorbing all of that gas, they're absorbing a lot more at that higher rate because they're warm, but then when they go to end the dive, they're now cold, so everything slows down. They're not off-gassing at the same rate, they're off-gassing at a slower rate. The rates of decompression sickness went up to like 22%. So by having a external powered warming suit, you can basically make it a little bit safer by adjusting your body temperature. And yeah, it's very much, you do have to pay attention to when you're switching it on and how that can affect your decompression, because yeah, it is cold out now at the moment. I think it's starting to warm up, but yeah, a lot of divers and a lot of manufacturers are creating these heated undersuits, like battery-powered undersuits, and yeah, you do need to think about how it might affect your rate of decompression, because your dive computer doesn't know. Your dive computer is strapped to the outside of your wetsuit or your dry suit. It doesn't know how warm your body is. It might be able to know like the water temperature, but that doesn't really mean that the diver is actually warm or cold. There are some computers that can do it. There are a few Scuba Pro ones that have human factor diving, they call it. You get a chest strap and that has a skin temperature sensor along with a heart rate monitor and whatnot. So it can tailor your decompression to make it a bit more conservative or less conservative depending on your body temperature. But for the majority, most dive computers don't actually use your body temperature because they don't really know your body temperature. So it's kind of up to the diver to be sensible and to think about, okay, let me think about my decompression. Okay, my dive computer might say that I'm okay to ascend. However, I was warm at the start of the dive and then the battery ran out on my heated undersuit, so now I'm cold. Maybe it's worth actually staying at depth for a last stop, just to decompress as much as possible before actually surfacing. So a very interesting subject. But yeah, if you look up Dr. Neil Pollock, he does a very good lecture on it. I think I've seen it live, or I've just seen it online so many times that I feel like I was there. But yeah, you can watch them on, I think, yeah, it's just on YouTube. So yeah, search for Neil Pollock and I want to say like thermal stress or something. But yeah, there are lots of lectures and it's all very, it's an interesting subject. But yeah, That is it. That's all that's piqued my interest. I've been really trying to get my head down, trying to edit and write as many videos as possible, trying to catch up after the dive show, because that was knackering. And there was a lot of footage coming out of that I had to sort of edit. So I haven't been using my usual content and trying to organize things in the future. But yeah, anyway, that's it for the podcast. Thank you so very much for listening, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful week as always. Hope the weather is turning nice for you. It's a bit gray and drizzly here, but at least the snow has gone. But yeah, anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening, everybody. And of course, safe diving.